بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As the presence of the mind improves, then the zikr, the quality of the zikr also improves. When a person is just turning the seeds, turning the beads, and the other is turning with the presence of the mind. So, do not say the customary turning of the beads is of no use. Do not say that. But in deen, you're not supposed to be stagnated. You have to keep moving up. So the presence of the mind is a requirement. Our elders say that you can't trace this presence of the mind from the hadith as well. Person performing namaz, then he keeps a sutra before him, right? So what was the purpose of the sutra? So obviously that sutra will prevent the thoughts going hither and thither. The thoughts won't be scattered. It will be at the point of the sutra. They've got something in front of you to prevent any person crossing you. So that's called a sutra. So now what's the reason for the sutra? The reason for the sutra is that your mind will be focused to that. So that means the Shariat has taken this into consideration as to how the presence of the mind can, how it can be improved. Okay. So obviously now when you've got the sutra before you, so your mind would be just focused at that point. This is one example. The other example is also that in your ibadat you need to see that you get the presence of the mind. إِذَا حَضَرَ الْإِشَاءُ وَالْعَشَىٰ. Both things came together, the meals and the namaz. What should you do? Now if you're hungry and in the state of hunger you're going to be in namaz, then obviously salatuka yakunu aklan, your whole namaz will be eating. As Imam Sahib says, innatina kulullah, and when we can eat with itminan. Once with Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, so someone said, you just finish off the namaz and be able to eat with itminan. So Mufti Sahib's answer was that Musliman kab itminan ke saath khata hai? Itminan ke saath to namaz padhta hai. We are supposed to be doing the namaz with the presence of the mind and with the calmness, not the eating. Now we reverse the whole thing, that let's just get over the namaz and then you can relax and eat properly. So that's the reversing. So the Shariat has made these considerations, that have something, and then you start off your namaz. So you see in Ramadan, you don't see now, postpone the breaking of the fast. If you have some dates, water, or something light, so you feel comfortable that I had something. When you have something now, the namaz is done with the presence of the mind. If you had nothing now, straight away you went on, then your mind is all scattered. Okay, let's hope it's finished now, and I can enjoy my meals. Yeah? So your mind would be all over. In this, there's two practices. One practice is amongst our elders, was you will have a good iftar and then have a good namaz as well. Like you see in the Haramain, when they lay out the dastarkhans, and you eat well at the time of iftar, and then you eat, then you perform your namaz well as well. So that's one practice. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, لا بأس أن يأكل تمرا أو تمرتين والماء قبل الصلاة. One, two khajurs, a little bit of water before namaz. So Imam Malik rahmatullah, so the whole procedures in extracting masalas are different. Imam Malik rahmatullah, what he says, what was the practice of the people of Medina Munawwara? So that's the point where he will extract. He will observe what was the practice of the people of Medina Munawwara. And from there he will deduce. Because he will say that the people of Medina Munawwara are largely the Sahaba Kiram, right? Or their children. It's either the Sahaba Kiram or their children. And they have directly witnessed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So their practice will be closest to the Sunnah. So that's how he reasons, right? It was a ta'amul of the people of Medina Munawwara to go with this. Will be much safer. So therefore, he says, have 1-2 days, some water, start your namaz. So perhaps you are not of the view that you have a proper, lavish iftar, and then you namaz. But other ulama say, no, it's alright, you have a good meal. People's ways, their tendencies are different. Like you just have one date. Now, some people are such, the whole namaz will be a particular samosa. This will be, they don't wipe it out before you come. And what about the half moon? You know? And the rocket that's there. And let's hope they made that green chutney, not that red tomato sauce chutney. So the whole bite is turning around the savouries, isn't it? So is that a namaz or is that a visit to the savouries? So this is the other opinion, that have something nice. So mentally you can be relaxed and then you start off your namaz. But again, I come to the topic. See, what was needed? The presence of the mind. So having something and then forming namaz brings about a good level of the presence of the mind. So therefore they say, have something nice and then engage in namaz, so your thoughts will not turn to other things. Will be there, right? إِذَا حَضَرَ الْإِشَاءُ وَالْأَشَاءُ. So that is why the three Imams, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, all of them say the same thing. Imam Ghazali is a Shafi, so he says, an additional thing he says, now if you're going to postpone the eating and that what you prepare is going to get a little bit spoiled, right? So he said, we rather eat then. So what does he mean by getting a little bit spoiled? Now, for us it's quite easy to understand. I ask you, in all fairness, right, that samosa that just came out from the fryer, that's more enjoyable, or it came out of the fryer and after half an hour it's eaten. Tell me, you know, it's sharp in those things. Just came out, right? But the texture will be lost. You won't get the same texture. So Imam Ghazali says, if the taste is going to be spoiled, you rather have it straight. Don't delay the process. So there are foods that when eaten at a certain temperature, then it's enjoyed. Like tea, for example, now it's mild, you enjoy it. You enjoy it at that temperature. It's coming at that temperature, you will enjoy it. So, they don't want you to not enjoy the food. Enjoy the food. As you have explained this here. Now, you say, no, I'm Sufi now, let's go against the temptation and don't move with the temptation. So you made the samosa all, held after 2 hours, the whole thing's finished now. The tea is cold, right? And the tarkari, it was prepared so well, chops and everything, put some water all that to spoil the thing. So, and then they say, that's not the soul of that. This is the gist of what he said, right? But it's not the soul. It's a misunderstanding of the soul. The person who ate it with the relish, nicely, rice prepared, so his mind will go into this. He's a normal practicing Muslim. He'll say, how beautiful is Allah Ta'ala. You know, how kind and compassionate he is. And what about the respect and the appreciation he needs to show to the woman in the house? They did it so well, you know. We compliment them. So they feel that all that effort they put into that was worth the while. 3-4 hours they went to the kitchen, they put an effort. Now you come up and you don't give them one compliment, how do they feel? Is that right? So no, must do it for ikhlas. Is that right? We are human. There is a thing like shukr, right? There is a thing like you say jazakallah, right? Don't you say these things? So, whichever way we have to express it, we do express that. You know? So, they took all the trouble, they prepared the thing at your level, they prepared it, they understood your taste, what is your taste, you don't like it too mild, you don't like it too hot. So they understood all these things there and they prepared it accordingly. Now, when you say Alhamdulillah, how you say it then? When everything is fine, you know. Then Alhamdulillah will come out of the heart. Otherwise, it's just a formality, Bismillah Alhamdulillah. And if it's prepared very well, very, very well, you can see from the looks, you know. Prepared well. Say, come, brothers, Bismillah. See. And at the end you say Alhamdulillah. You know, you will really enjoy it. So you appreciating Allah's gifts, you also recognizing the effort that the woman put into it, right? So everything is covered in that way. So enjoy the thing, right? But understand now, then let yourself think that, you know, Allah is so kind, and why am I so inappreciative? I don't use my limbs correctly, my tongue, I don't use it correctly. My eyes, I don't use it correctly. Why? What's wrong with you? Why am I so stupid? He's being so kind, then must I just ignore all the favors that he's giving? So if you're thinking right, then you think, no, I must use my eyes right, I must use my tongue right, because he's given me the ability to appreciate, to enjoy, right? And the enjoyment comes both with the tongue and with the eye, doesn't it? You see that, isn't it a relish? Isn't something to delight? And then you eat it, again it's a delight. Then you think, now, who made this available? Allah made it, right? Allah now, when he's given this so much with taste, with enjoyment, with relish, with texture, right, with beauty, right, then shouldn't I be showing some level of appreciation? So, therefore they say, إِذَا حَضَرَ الْإِشَاءُ وَالْأَشَاءُ فَابْدَأُوا بِالْأَشَاءُ. So you must start off with the meals. There's two opinions there. We go in between. We don't go right to have a complete meal and not just one khajur. Khajur and chai, why something, someone wants to have something else. There's time that he can do that as well. Right? So there's two tastes and there's two types of people. So if you have that one taste, then the other masjid also that will accommodate that, go there, nobody stops you. And you like now, just have something very brief, and then start off with your namaz, in this other masjid, so there's no reason to gossip and make a story, see. Unfortunately, we don't look for solutions. We look for problems, but a Muslim must look for solutions, alright. I can see now how this thing performs, how this thing is working here. Now what's the solution? So, you can look for a solution and you can create a problem in anything, everything can be a problem, right? If you look for solutions, you can find it. A small adjustment I make and I'll find a solution, right? Someone is reading a little bit loudly, Quran Sharif right now. It's disturbing. You can go right to the rear of the masjid or on the side and you can engage in the recitation. But now you must make a noise. It's not the way. Someone enjoys it a little bit loud, someone enjoys it a little bit soft. But the masjid is big enough and you can find a solution. So why don't you find a solution and keep the peace? So I was talking about the presence of the mind, right? I showed you two of these, right? The third is the statement of Hadi Sahib, rahmatullahi. So after the 1857 mutiny, Hadi Sahib moved on to Makkah Mukarrama, right? There was a hunt out for him, and he said to himself, now, the better thing is now I move on to Makkah Mukarramah. Perhaps he was inspired that he must move on to Medina or to Makkah Mukarramah. Although some of his Murideen, Mawadun Ghoisab Rahmatali, begged him that can't I also join you? He said, no, you can't. Allah Pak Sukham is that you must remain here. Because Allah Ta'ala ko tere se bahut kuch kaam lena hai. Allah Ta'ala wants to take a lot of work of you. You know, last I explained, is our Buzuganadi are all Arabs. And they see now where's the need. So their movement was based on the need. Going to Basra, Baghdad, and someone is coming to Afghanistan, Khorasan, and to India. So what was it based on? It was based on the need. So the better thing for Hadi Sahib was to move on to Makkah Mukarrama. The better thing for Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was to remain in India. That was the better thing. So they looked at it purely as a Dini perspective. Now look at it. After the mutiny, Gangohi Rahmatullah was jailed for approximately 6 months, right? Then they found that there were charges that were laid against him. There was no basis for the charges. So they had to free him, right? They were in that war, but they didn't speak a lie when they were interrogated, but they didn't give them straight answers to that. So they asked them, the English interrogating officer, he asked, that we hear you've got a lot of weapons, so one of pulled out his tasbih and said, this is my weapon. And can there be anything more stronger than the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala? So he said, the truth. He didn't speak a lie, right? So now we hear that you are terrorists. You are terrorists, you are fighting against us. He said, baap dada bhi bagawat nahi kya. Great grandfathers also, we are not terrorists. So the answer now, the answer that were given, and they couldn't prove the guilt. They kept him. So anyway, now when they found them innocent, they had to release them. Now one of the prisoners began to cry. He says, you know, others, you were around and you taught me the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Like, Quran Sharif is not complete. Right? So you're going to go, then how will I be able to complete my Quran Sharif? So I explained that their movements was for deen, not for their self-satisfaction. Was it nothing to worry about. I will remain here until I get your courage to complete, then I'll leave. See that? See that? So they were selfless people, not selfish people. This crosses my mind. I'm bringing it to contemporary times, right? See this, audience school, Anjuman, and West Street, right? One of the trustees was Mr. A.M. Mullah. So, in our Indian setup, there must be a maktab or a madrasa joined to the masjid. Masjid, and there must be a madrasa joined up, right? For children, right? Call it a maktab, call it a madrasa, call it a kuttab, whatever, right? So now, the trust, we're discussing this thing here, that what's the need for the child to complete the entire recitation of the Quran Sharif? Now all the trust is on one side, that there's no need for the child to complete the entire Quran Sharif from cover to cover. You can read 2-3 sibara, enough, now you can't understand how to recite, it's enough. Now why put him through the whole recitation? Al-Mu'an Sari Sahib Rahmatullahi was known. The child must recite the entire Quran Sharif. But Imullah, he supported this. Alright? Something you may not agree, you need to be and all that. But they had this true spirit of deen. He says, see, it's a very wise statement he made. What he said, why should we take this recitation of the Quran Sharif out of the syllabus? There may be most of those children that was the only time they complete the Quran Sharif from cover to cover. Now you're depriving them from this as well. See, this may be the only occasion that he's completing the Quran Sharif from cover to cover. Now why should we deprive him for that? See that? Alright, they are the only thing, some things that we do not agree with, but the talim and the spirit of deen was in them. That was a great thing, very great. That spirit, the true spirit. The practice is important. The true spirit and true understanding is equally important. Now you're practicing, but your mind is all upside down. University, girls, all that, right? So is the mind right? Yeah, alright, we're doing something, we're not agreeing with that. But the spirit and the feeling for deen was too genuine. That's very great. And from their authoritative position, he said what they could say. They said it, made it happen. And they had to pass it, because now nobody could break that argument. They're all still coming. 90% don't have the type of supportive home environment where they're going to encourage them to recite the Quran every day and make a khatam, right? Only they'll read, someone passed away, so for one sipara, you read one sipara, two sipara, that's finished now. How much they can read some Yasin, and nowadays they won't even do that also. Before, I know, someone passed away, so there are 30 paras, you read two, so they do the khatam. Now they don't even do this much as well. So that may be the only occasion that the child did the Quran Sharif. Now why should we deprive the child of the completion of the Quran? So we're talking of Hadith, we're talking of the presence of the mind. So Hadith Sahib moved on to Makkah Mukarrama. Now, first, Hadith Sahib was a great, very great personality. A lot of people want to come and settle in Makkah Mukarrama. So his answer was too great. His answer was this, that rather your heart be in Makkah and your body be in India, than your heart being in India and your body being in Makkah Mukarrama. And you were excited, you came here, you saw the purity of the environment, right? The blessed surroundings, right? So all these things you saw. Namaz, Quran Sharif, piety, righteousness, right? Only Islam here. So you were affected. So you thought of moving. But now, you didn't build yourself up. When you didn't build yourself up, now you're in Makkah Mukarrama or Madina Munawara, then you're going to engage in some wrong things. Someone look at some things. Women are there, you must look at that. You didn't build yourself. Had you built yourself up, that's a different thing. But if you haven't built yourself up, and you just want to make a major shift, kya hoga? So your body will be here, but your mind will be elsewhere. So I ask you, is that in keeping with the respect of the place? So rather you be here for a short duration, and with the presence of the mind, presence of the heart and the body, than being here for a long duration, and then say, no, this person like that, he's doing like that, and the police are like this, so complaining about the whole thing. So now, you condition your mind, you train yourself, it's the place of adab, ibadat, right? So, one person is telling me, I was 79 when I went for my first surgery. He said, well, you know, such a variety of girls now, from every country, now how much you restrain? He's young, right, 79 or over 47 years old, right? Now how much you restrain? So now, I had to give it to him, because he's a doctor now, but in his style. Because I shouted at him, "Bhai, is this a place to come and do all this sightseeing and all that? Is this the place?" My teacher doesn't like that. He likes to be very soft, loving. So how must he? So I said, see, nearly all the Ambiya alayhim salam, 125,000, they set their foot in this Mubarak place. Came for Hajj, for Umrah, whatever it was, right? Even Adam alayhi salam came here. Right? Then after the Ambiya alayhim salam, 124,000 Sahaba kiram came here. In the Hajjatul Wida, how many Sahaba were there? You see? About 124,000. Then after the Sahaba kiram, millions of awliya came here. Junaid Baghdadi, Hasan Basri, all these people came here, right? All these popular names were here. Now, such gunegar people like us, we got the chance of coming here and we're spoiling this whole heritage. Whole heritage is pointing it. Are we fair to this lineage of ours? See the lineage, Ambiya, Sahaba-e-Kiram, Awliya, Ulama, Shuhada, all came to this place here, right? And we came to come and spoil this whole heritage. We start crying, you know. I didn't think of it like that. Just think for yourselves. It's not an entertainment. It is a hadith. لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا. My qabr, don't make it an Eid. So there's about 2-3 explanations to this hadith, right? One explanation is Eid comes once a year, right? So don't make my grave like Eid, that you just come here once a year. It means come frequently. And the second explanation is totally contrary. The second explanation is لَا تَتَّخِذُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا. What it means? It means that Eid is a time for festivity, to celebrate. So my qabr, don't make it like a celebration and a festivity. Come and celebrate here. Come here, wasallu alayya. You come here to send durood sharif, to send your salams. Not as an entertainment park. So the type of respect and focus that you show here, focus, respect and muhabbat, it's experience. You come with that frame of mind of respect, muhabbat, understanding the adab, etc., and then you leave, then there'll be a dramatic change in your whole life. But then, what type of love, muhabbat, adab, you practice whilst you are in the Haramain, Makkah Mukarramah, and Madinah Munawwara, understand who's here. The man, right, there was no man that was greater than him. He set foot here, and he is here in Madinah Munawwara.
And gunegar people like us, Allah Pak blessed us with this opportunity to be in this place here, where the best of creation was, right? Jibreel Islam came hundreds of times bringing wahi, right? And he come to this place here. All this, everything happened here. And now we worthless people, we are here. So we think, you know, a small thing must go against our taste, make a big noise. Yeah? You hear the stories, how that cater now, he didn't give that one person the coke. He got so, so upset, came on tight slap. Think now, you know, think of yourself, how worthless you are. Don't think, you know, about the worth of your money that you spent. Don't think about the worth you spent. But think how worthless you are. Now you are thinking how much, what's the worth of what you spent. Don't think that. Think how worthless you are. So say, this was a place when Nabi Sallam attached stones to his stomach because of hunger. Right? This is a place Abu Huraira didn't eat to fall down out of hunger. Today I'm here today. What's there if I didn't get the thing to my taste? So in your thinking, in your wording, in your behavior, there must be adab. So that's why I say that nowadays you rather make less umrah and hajj, but learn the adab properly. Learn how to behave, how to conduct yourself. Mentally, verbally, physically, what should be your whole conduct? Learn all these things here, then go. Nobody stops you. But understand. Now you're going and looking at the woman, right? Looking at things that you're not supposed to be looking at, right? The barakat of the place, I don't say you can't buy other things, but the actual barakat is zamzam and khajur. See that you buy these things here. Now I'm going with that frame of mind, I'm going to trade in my old jewelry. Whole mind is jewelry, jewelry, jewelry. Then you see people at the Multazam, Allah Pak taking all his jewelry, Allah Pak just concealed me at the customs, you know. Now, is that the dua to make? So the whole Tawaf, Mina, Arafat, it's all about the jewelry that you bought and how you must go back safely. So is that called the presence of the mind? Can you see your mind? So your mind was, you have to condition your mind. That I came here, what a worthless person, Gunegar. I came, all people, I came here. Right? And let's hope I don't spoil this place. With my sins, with my wrong behavior, with my wrong thoughts, right? Lord, guide me, you protect me. Al-Mu'ad Thamis Abraham says that this place is such, it's got a magnetic effect, right? You know, magnet draws the iron together, right? But this is a place which attracts the heart. It's a magnet to the hearts. But now it's got an effect. The whole Hajar Aswad got a magnetic effect. A very, very graphic effect is that. Dynamic effect. But now what effect it has? The type of mind you came with, it will stamp you and send you back. See? If it was that your mind was all about money, making money and whatever else, right? So now you are stamped accordingly and you go. So if that was in your mind, now you become even more brazen in the business. See, it'll be more brazen. Haram, halal, everything will work. Because that was a frame of mind that you came in. So he stamped you accordingly. So Mawlana says that what? They must make you islah and then go. That will take 40 years. And then you may miss your hajj also. That student was there from Malaysia. So, you know, he gets his accreditation. So I asked him, is he saying, I'm going for Umrah? I said, why don't go for Hajj one time? Hajj, then you can do after that any amount of Umrah. First, do your Hajj. He says, no, there's a quota system. You may only get a chance once in 35, 40 years. See that? See how difficult they have it. Aren't we yet fortunate? Eh? We don't have such a long wait. There's a wait. but not such a difficult way. 35, 40 years, for 50, sometimes 50 years, then you get a chance. See. So, Almarhum Thaisat shows the solution, right? He says, see, well, we can't say that we have made our Islam. But you can't postpone the Farazat as well. So then how do you reconcile the both? So that's why you call him Hakimul Ummat, right? He's the specialist of the Ummat. What? Hakim is a specialist. He will diagnose and show you how to reconcile. Every step you think, Allah, I'm Gunegar, please correct me. What? I'm Gunegar, I'm loaded with wrong, but please correct me. Can you see that? So you're showing your humility and you are crying to Allah Ta'ala for reformation, correction. But if you go with that frame of mind, then how will you come back? See? Don't come with an arrogant attitude. No, me, I only think about first class, only Hilton Hotel. You know, must have the first, must be the first line, first serve to see the Kaaba Sharif or to see the Roza Mubarak. That doesn't count. What counts is your dil, right? You think now you paid first class, came first class, so you're great, you know. Walaki yanalu taqwa, Allah looks at the heart. What's the presence of the mind? What's the respect? What's the muhabbat? What's the feeling? What's the attachment you've got? That's what Allah looks at. Hazrat Nizamuddin Uliyar, is the 7th century, right? So, all the royals and the government people always to come to him. They're coming now, so they give that type of presents. Right? Someone give gold, silver, diamond, all sorts of things. But now, his style was, whatever presents he got in the day, by the night everything is gone. Everything is gone. And he is, throughout the year, is fasting. And he just got his dry bread, some water, whatever, that's his meals. This thing comes just to appease them, satisfy them, take that, whatever it is given out, charity. So, he's got a good amount, and on that day, his heart is desirous, I'll make this offering as an isar sawab for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The sawab for this must go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not the offering, but the sawab must be going to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, no, just wait. He was told him, just wait. Your brother Alauddin Sabiri, Kalyar, right? He's just made an isar sawab of a bundle of firewood, right? Firewood, and Rasulullah is too interested in that. He's marveling at that, right? That. So just wait. Once that's over, then you can give. But now, any value for this firewood, and you have diamonds and pearls. And anyway, so what is the point of Allah Ta'ala's focus? Is it that amount, or is it the goodness of the heart? So this place is here now. You go with the goodness of the heart. Train yourself, understand. And one easy way to train yourself is read the Fazail, Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, some sections on Fazail al-Durud. Read all these things here and let your mind be overwhelmed. Now you see there's a different experience altogether. I used to see that in the 60s people went for Hajj and came back. And nearly every person that I saw at that time, there was a marked difference in his. He didn't have a beard, had a beard. He wasn't reading namaz, he was performing namaz. If he was reading namaz and not pabandh on tahajjud, he was reading tahajjud right. If he's dealing with the corrupt, he got that right. But I saw it, that there was a marked difference in people's behavior. So I only attribute it to the adab. That time they were humble, and they had a lot of adab, a lot of respect. The adab was like at a different level. You know, Mullah Yahya's grandfather's brother used to be working, he was doing our accounts. Ahmad Bhai. Few people, one of the few people that still had a beard. He was, but now, their love all of us at a different level. Something may not be right, but the spirit that they spoke of, so he used to say, you know, that time I remember, you know, if you get someone came from Hajj, so they present khajur, you only get one piece. It's a little bit of zamzam, I don't see the small zamzam glass, you know, and one khajur you get. So someone was examining the khajur, if there was any worms. He said, hey, this is coming from Madina Munawwara, don't do all this thing, just eat the thing. Alright, we'll take the worm out, it's right. But now, look at the spirit, look at the love. Can you see that? So their spirit and their love was totally different. Now we are counting on our wealth. I got this, I can fly there, I can do this. But that doesn't count to Allah Ta'ala. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Filth and pure are not the same. Even if the abundance of filth may impress you. See, it's filthy intentions, filthy minds that are coming. One person is in Madina Munawwara and he had the yogurt, right? So it came out of his tongue that Hamari yahan ki dahi se bahut behtar hai. Came out of his tongue that our yogurt in our town is far better than the yogurt of Madina. Nabi Sallam appeared in his deen, in his dream, said, "Acha, isa ho to tum apne ghar chale jao. Please like this and go home. Because your taste for your town is greater than my town." So the heart has to be built, to be made, has to be prepared long in advance, 5 months, 6 months, you're going for Umrah now. Prepare yourself. Then you see how enjoyable. You will value every moment, every second. You'll see a dramatic change in your life, in the people that are joining you. You'll see it. Otherwise, that just becomes like an entertainment. There's no rule, there's no spirit in the thing. So anyway, we're talking about the Hadith of Rahmatullahi. We're talking about the focus and the presence of the mind. So, Hadith Sahib, you should say, you got that level of taqwa, you got that level of aversion to the dunya, you got that level of muhabbat for the place, right? You got that attachment, right? That your mind, and accidentally also doesn't think about dunya and India, all that, right? Then this is a place for you to stay. But when you haven't yet disciplined your mind, you know, you haven't corrected your mind, then the better thing is you stay in India or other country and come for a short while, behave and then go. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you behave yourself correctly, properly, and then you go. Right? But now, you didn't discipline yourself, you didn't get your mind in the right, you want to be here. So, Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, so he was one of the residents of Madina Munawwara. But now he showed that level of adab. So, there are two stories of him. One was a retired head of the police. You know? So he came, brought his wealth, came to live in Madina Munawwara, and he wanted Badri Alam advice, and I'm retired now, I've got all my money. I said, see, if you're living here, then you just live with respect. Don't pass comments, criticize, don't know all these things. Why he's doing this, who's that person, what's the police doing, right? That's not your business. Apne kaam ke liye aaye ho, for what you have come, do that and move on. You don't look at anything else. So anyway, he made 2 rakat namaz, made dua, and he took it upon himself to respect the place. Those that have seen the Haram Sharif in the 70s, 80s, then from the Haram of Medina till the hotel, it may be just about 40 steps, 40, 50 steps. Baradana was there, right? So close it was. So as he moved out of the Haram Sharif, one Arab came and said, Haji, you come and stay with me, free of charge. Meals, accommodation, everything. Right. Everything provided. Now 1 year, 2 years passed, and the old habits began to surface. Picking on that person, getting into an argument here, talking about this. Right. Now, he came for namaz, and he heard a voice telling him, Gustakh, nikal ja yahan se. You're disrespectful, get out of here. And now the same Arab that had accommodated him, free of charge for everything, he said, you leave the place now, straight away. See that? See this disrespect. Here, he had received him, and just now, the same person said, get out of here. See that? So that's why Imam Badr in his poetry used to say, Yahan aakar ke rehna ho, to bach ke rehna. What? Yahan aakar ke rehna ho, to bach ke rehna. Like you see, you're going to a sheikh like Azizji, like Queen the Khanqa. So they also, the priest requires a lot of respect. You can't just carry on. Right? This is the priest of the Awliya. What respect you going to show? If you look at the structure, it's mortar, cement, bricks, steel, right? You build your home with the same material, build the masjid and the khanqa same thing. But then what's the difference between the masjid and your home? So here it's a nisbat. The nisbat is to Allah Ta'ala. So khanqa is nisbat to the place of the awliya, right? So now, what frame of mind you come in, what type of respect you show, how you're supposed to be behaving, right? Because now you're coming to the company of the awliya, right? So now, according to your mind, right, how you disciplined and you have corrected yourself, this is how you return. Respect, the muhabbat, the attachment, the adab that you showed, so that's how you return. Okay? Whether it's a masjid, whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a khanqa, all these things are now linked up to Allah Ta'ala. One person came to my Badi Alam Sabah today. Most of our family people, they were connected to Mullah Badi Alam Sabah in the 50s, 60s. Then when he passed away, 65, then someone went to Hazrat Sheikh al-Mulai, Hazrat Ji, different ways to that. But most of them were connected there. So he used to have his sitting after Asr. Now the time between Asr and Maghrib is very long, right? Because Asr is after Misl Wahid, right? So from then to Maghrib is a long time, something 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Right? So he used to have his majlis from Asr to Maghrib. So one person came in and very respectfully, soft-footed, he found a place right at the rear, he just sat down. He didn't force himself inside, I think. Quietly, respectfully, soft. Now, something attracted that person to Hazrat Mawlana Badi Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he called him near him. Come. So he says, aapka taluk Mawlana Raipuri sahab rahmatullah se hai. Your taluk is with Mawlana Raipuri sahab. Said, yeah. Said, this type of tawazu and humility is notable in the people that are attached to him. The type of tawazu you showed, the humility you showed, you know, you didn't think much of yourself. Came and sat down. So this thing is distinct in them. Mawlana was very happy with him. Anyway, you know, the Haji goes, his stay is limited. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then. Every day he used to come after Sir for the majlis, and then he would go. So One day he wasn't there. So Mona asked him, "Kal aap nahi aaye, kya ho gaya?" He said, "No, tomorrow I'm leaving. So I thought I'll go to the Souq al-Tamr, buy all the khajur. You know? I'll go to the khajur market because I will take something home." So I went to get the khajur. So I look at Mona's response. Kaash ki main jawan hota. Had I been young, I would have personally taken you to the Souq al-Tamr. I would have taken you to the khajur market. Right? And then I would have guided you, buy this khajur, buy this tamar, buy this tamar. This is very good. It may be afterwards that someone will eat that tamar of Medina . His heart may just burst out with happiness. Are kya tamar hai Madina? And maybe because of that person, I may get forgiven. You see the respect, the love. So I ask you, what are we short of today? Are we short of brains? No. Are we short of wealth? No. Are we short of infrastructure, all that medicine? No. Then what are we short of today? Today, if anybody wants to make an investment, I tell you, in the original, pure, respectable deen, what? Deen with respect, original, undiluted, even if you can't do too much. I don't think it would be like Rabia Basriya, doing 1,000 rakats of namaz every day, no. A little bit, alright. Doing only in the field, say about 12, 15 rakats, but respect, undiluted, with that love of muhabbat and feeling. Do it and you see that. So what we short of today is this. It's not the amount, it's not the infrastructure, it's not the wealth, it's not the brains. We're not short of that. We're short of this adab, muhabbat, attachment, purity, undiluted. This is what we're short of, right? See? So the whole haram now, then it becomes like an entertainment park. You've got a whole group of people snapping, smile, and then you can't even cross. You're crossing, they'll snap you just now. Can you see that? So the reward will be this. You know, you try and promote it with muhabbat, with love. But how are you going to do it? At least within your group, talk about it, you know, avoid everything else, make your stay short and see to it that you're not with a company of people in the haram sharif, just want to talk, right? Because now they came there for 2 weeks and they need to pass the time. So now, idhar udhar ki baate, your time is gone, all wasted and everything. Then you realize, hey, when you return, I didn't appreciate my time. But had you prepared yourself, understand the place, the beauty, the greatness, right? Then it would have been a different experience, a totally different experience. Right? You'll thread the place, you'll have that love, muhabbat. My mother marhum, so she was teaching us, you know, even at this age she was teaching us. So now ladies want to go for Quba, you know, Quba on a Saturday, so they take it. So you find the desert people studying all those greens, you know. Maryam Bhuti, you know, I don't know if you heard that. You heard Maryam Bhuti? Yeah. So say, we don't need, but buy it from them. For the barakat, people are living from this, so buy it from them. But you see these people, how they thought in the old, how they seen things, the respect that they would show, attachment to the place. In the haram, they won't even raise their voices. Forget getting into an argument, they won't even raise their voices. See? So sometimes that person's one ziyarat is equivalent to the next person's 1,000 ziyarat. See, the ingredients that were required, they're all there. All the ingredients were found. See, one ziyarat made one. But that is now surpass that person's 1,000s of ziyarat. He can boast, I mean, so often. Very good, all right. But Allah Pak doesn't look at that. He looks at this. It's not the amount. See, after Nubuwat, Rasulullah Pasan made this one Hajj, right? He made the second Hajj. It was the 10th year, right? 10th year of the Hijrat, one Hajj, right? After that, but the whole Ummah's Hajj after that, can they be equivalent to that one step of Tawaf of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Understand? So these ingredients of love, muhabbat, sincerity, love for the people of Medina, something you don't need, but buy it from them. They are the neighbors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And doesn't the neighbor have a right? Your neighbor, wal jar is your qurba, wal jar is your junub, right? That neighbor doesn't have a right. So what love is him? So even if quoting a higher price, buy it. But what's there? What do you lose? But it's a token of love. It's not that the bargain that you made. It's what token of love you're coming with. Look at that. Allah grant us the tawfiq, understand.